Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, July 2nd, 186th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is One Note noted CPA, Bill McCauley.
Hey, Brian.
Kind of sounding like that note's flat today.
Yeah,
huh?
Absolutely.
A little tired?
Yeah, must be.
Still recovering from vacation? Is that the deal?
I did have a week off, and that was last week. That was pretty nice. So.
Yeah. And you didn't send me any notes. Yeah. Thumbing your nose at me for having a week off.
Well,
so that was kind of different.
Yeah, I was out of town and I missed some of the best weather.
Yeah.
So that's kind of par for the course. You know?
Unless you were in Death Valley or Phoenix.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so you missed.
I missed that kind of weather, yeah.
Oh, well, way to go.
I was in Southern Oregon, which was, you know, mostly, except for when it was a little drippy for a couple days, it was very nice. So
shed no tears, Argentina.
Yeah, yes, okay. Yes. I think that's. You sound so much like Madonna. I was just thinking about
that. Well, it's just the cutout I have in between us that's throwing you for the loop.
Yeah.
What do you got there? You brought something in.
Oh, I just brought a little information on the Defense of Marriage Act changes that came about as a result of the Supreme Court action last week. I mean, there was a couple of things that change marriage, obviously, and I think most people are aware of them, but there are some interesting little side consequences to other benefits that might be.
You're saying ripples on the pond.
There you go.
Good. Well, look for those ripples when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley, but before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Marcus Aurelius. Quote, "To change your mind and to defer to correction is not to sacrifice your independence." Independence, yeah. "For such an act is your own, in pursuance of your own impulse, your own judgment, and your own thinking." Kind of wordy, but it's as close to Independence Day as we can probably need to get right now.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So what, if we set aside the states' rights and the judiciary trumping the representative branch of government, put that aside, with the decisions that were made with the Supreme Court regarding DOMA or the Defense of Marriage Act, what, at the ground level, for that element or for that one case being decided, what does it mean for folks?
Well, to be clear, I in no way consider myself an authority on cases that have been in front of the Supreme Court. So I'm looking at analysis that other people have performed. So I just want to be completely clear that I don't want to be anyone to think I'm holding myself out as having particular expertise as to this. But my understanding is that the case that went before the Supreme Court on the Defense of Marriage Act, which is a federal law that was passed, pertained to a couple, a same-sex couple, where one of them died, and the other one, in administering the estate of the deceased partner or spouse, depending on where you're sitting, ended up having to pay $363,000 of estate taxes that would not have been payable had they been married and treated as married for tax purposes and for estate tax purposes in particular. And so, and not to beat that issue to death, but what happens in the case of spouses, when one spouse dies, the other spouse, there is an unlimited exemption, you know, for transferring between spouses. Now, it may be taxed upon the death of the second spouse to die.
That doesn't go intergenerational. What if the surviving spouse remarries?
Well, that's...
Does that also hold true, or is this...
Depends on what point in time you stick your pin into the wall. But at this point, I mean, there are... The rules are, you know, continue to... On estate taxes, continue to change. But, yeah, you potentially could have another spouse and have the potential to transfer certain assets. It just depends on how things have been... How the estate planning has been done. The point being, in this case, is that my understanding is the court ruled that that was an inequitable treatment for that $363,000 was paid in estate tax that would not have been paid had they been considered married for that purpose. And so I don't know. I don't understand that the whole Defense of Marriage Act was thrown out per se, but it does give an indication what the court's attitude is going to be on disparate treatment based on that. And so my understanding is that now for the 13 states, including the state of California, because of for other purposes or from other action of the Supreme Court in particular, those 13 states, a couple could be treated as married, even if they're the same gender, for federal purposes, and so kind of conforming to the state law of that particular state. So that's kind of how we got to this little place where all of a sudden, there's a myriad of other questions. Well, what if I want to, what if I'm married and I want to move to another state? You know, it's same-sex couple, we're married, and we're in California. At this point, we're completely, there's no problem with our...
fully recognized.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. We're fully recognized as married in the state of California, and we decided to go to, I don't know what another state, I'm guessing maybe Texas is not one of the 13
states. I was thinking Wyoming.
Wyoming might. Let's say Wyoming. And we could be wrong.
And if they are,
Let's say we go to Wyoming, and Wyoming is not... one of those 13 states, then that's going to create some real complication because, the easy answer is don't move. But, as a practical matter, that could be a problem. And that's probably going to take, and I don't think anybody's really fully fleshed this out as far as what this means when you go from jurisdiction to jurisdiction having different rules for marriage.
Well, we haven't figured out yet with marijuana, so why should marriage be any different, huh?
Dude.
You notice that? M-A-R on both of them. That's nice. About as close as I can get.
Way to go.
You like that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, if that's as high as I can go, that's as high as I will go, and we'll be back. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Recently, the Eureka Heritage Society named Bill Hole its Preservationist of the Year. For 17 years, he's led the renowned Historic Preservation and Restoration Technology Program at College of the Redwoods. Now, however, he's been told the college may not be able to afford to offer his classes next school year. While the program has a shortfall based solely on enrollment, Mr. Hole says that's not the full story. It's brought in more money than it costs to run, over $1 million from donated supplies, equipment and training sites, state grants and training agreements. He adds, "The type of training we do, integrating construction, rebuilding, and revitalizing neighborhoods, is significant to Humboldt County. The intensive hands-on training prepares his students to fill the demand for specialists to work on restorations locally and throughout the country. See, our administrators should take off their green eye shades and see the big picture. This program is a valuable asset to our economy and culture." Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. Bill, see, we've got the judicial determination of, I guess, overthrowing, if you will, the Defense of Marriage Act. The ripples haven't been considered yet or if they haven't considered nothing, it's got to be case law, I would think, is going to determine how the real application is. So during the time period now from yes to, okay, this is what it really means, what are you supposed to do? It could take a year. It could take a year and a half. Is that why they have amended tax returns?
There's some great. That's one of the questions that the tax preparing community is asking is this retroactive? Do we need to do something by a certain date to preserve a statute of limitations? We've already had a major challenge here in California dealing with this issue because. Registered domestic partners could file, same-sex registered domestic partners could file a joint return for California purposes, but were prohibited from doing it for federal purposes. So it's already been a muddled mess for people in that situation. They've had it's not been easy. It's meant that if they're having their tax returns prepared professionally, they're probably paying more to have them done than they would if the situation weren't so muddled. And there are a myriad of those things, as you say, how's this all going to shake out? There's a whole bunch of issues that are going to come to the fore. Employers are going to have to start thinking about the terminology involved in their healthcare benefits packages. It may be for retirement beneficiary designation forms. There could be a series of implications that we're not even thinking about really yet because we're just busy kind of reacting to the drama of the change. And I think we're going to be surprised, and we're going to continue to see little apples bobbing up, going, "Oh, we didn't think about that. That's a consequence of this that we're going to need to address." But you know, when you start thinking about under the Defense of Marriage Act, there's about 1,000 different provisions of law that have been denied same-sex marriage couples that door appears to be opened for. And those things can be healthcare, pensions, adoption rules, which is a big one, obviously, for same-sex couples. I have a good grasp of the obvious.
Yeah, way to go.
Family support or family leave, Social Security issues, inheritance issues, property transfer issues, military benefits, spousal support issues upon dissolution. So there's all these other provisions of federal law that affect married people that have been that have not been effective for same-sex married couples that are now going to be out there. So people are going to have to make decisions. From the standpoint of income taxation, it might be a good thing and it might be a bad thing for same-sex couples because
they... So I was going to ask you, with a marriage penalty, I guess it's what it's still referred to as.
It's back. See, the marriage penalty had largely been legislated away under the Bush tax provisions. With the last tax law that occurred January 1, that was not addressed. Those provisions were sunsetting, and it was not addressed in the January 1 tax bill that happened. And as a result, the marriage penalty's back. People, a married couple will pay more than two single people.
How much is 5%, 10%?
It's hard to say. It's hard to say because it's going to depend. It could be as much as probably between 5% and 10%.
Okay.
But it's going to depend on a case by case situation because you're talking about things we have phase outs of itemized deductions and phase out of dependency exemptions, and so those things happen as your income goes up. More that you lose more of those. You lose a bigger chunk of your itemized deductions or a bigger chunk of your dependency exemptions. And so these things change over an income scale. And so that's all back. Now from the standpoint that, and that's been out of the law for several years, it was phased out. Those of us who are involved in tax preparation referred to it as the phase out of the phase out. And so, because they didn't just eliminate the phase out, they gradually eliminated it. So the phase out's back, and we're going to see that continue. So now for same-sex married couples in 13 qualifying states, they're going to be able to file, it appears, a joint returns, and they may end up, as a result, having a higher tax liability than they would have filing two single returns. Now, there's a lot of other benefits that follow with same-sex couples, and so as a result, that's not the only issue that matters to people.
Yeah, it's probably not the prime motivator.
No, I don't think so.
But I know that's what you were trying to say.
Well, I could have, but I chose to do it in more words.
That's right.
Yeah, lacking in economy.
That would be that millisecond thing.
Yes.
That you were referencing also, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, right down to the gnat's eyelash.
There you go.
Yeah. You were worried about part of that gnat I was going to use as my reference, weren't you?
I wondered.
Yes. Well, good. Wonder no more. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Value and selection in new furniture and appliances are just the beginning of the reasons why more North Coast customers like you shop at Burns Furniture. This month, you'll find exceptional prices on the new iComfort mattress sleep system and sale prices on Englander mattresses. It's June, so recliners are on sale, and you'll want to see what's new on the four big floors of furniture and appliances at Burns. Get free delivery from Trinidad to Scotia when you buy at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. Bill, if the Defense of Marriage Act is an uncertain question mark and we're waiting for case law and determinations and figuring out state-to-state interpretations and who does what where and all that stuff, what about this... I even forgot what the real name is. Obamacare's
Affordable Care Act.
Okay, mm-hmm. We've gotten a couple of advertising purchases with our organization for this, but the production hasn't come in yet, so I don't have a clue what they're going to say other than enroll.
Yeah.
Sign up early for this program, and we know that's the big push, but do we know yet what people are being asked to sign up for?
Yes and no. You know, it's typical answer for me. We know more, and we're knowing a little more all the time, but there's still a lot of questions out there. We've had the opportunity to hear a couple of presentations in the local community. Some local insurance agents have been instrumental in bringing some people in who can talk to businesses in the community and try to explain what's going on. And it is... it's a work in process, and it seems like it's going to continue to be that way. I mean, there are a lot of questions that are unanswered, and there are people in the insurance industry who have a better command of the insurance elements than I do of this. And
but
as
the
matter
impact,
of fact,
impact to businesses, though, you know, and to the citizenry also. You know, everybody's favorite radio station, WIIFM, right? What's in it for me? Mm-hmm. Okay, do we know yet what's in it for me as a business operator? Do we know what it is in it for me as an employee? Do we know what's in it for me as a taxpayer? Do we know any of these things at this point?
We know some of it. Yeah, we do. I mean, the main thing, there, from an employer perspective, the biggest determination is, are we exempt from... You know, the are we a large employer or not?
Well, there is a threshold that's
50 employer
50
employees.
Employees or 50 people employed
equivalent,
or okay.
And it's based on a 30-hour FTE calculation. So, what that means is that you make a determination based on 30-hour weeks. How many? And so that method of calculation can mean somebody who has really fewer than 50 people may be at or near or over the 50 threshold. And so you need to be very careful when you make those determinations, and you probably should be working with your insurance agent trying to understand what those implications are. The closer you are to that, you know, if you're over If you just have a hard count that's over 35, you probably ought to be talking closely with your insurance agent, making sure, all right, you know, based on the hours that we work and how many FTE do we really have for purposes of making this calculation.
And FTE, the definition of 30 hours a week being full-time, doesn't necessarily transfer into other areas of your organization. It's just for this single purpose? Or has it now redefined what full-time employment is, and 30 hours is 30 hours, and it doesn't matter what you've had or what the states may call?
I think ultimately, at this point, it doesn't totally redefine it, but I think functionally it's going to. You know, if the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, whatever we want to call it, I mean, it's interesting. I don't want to be disrespectful, but my understanding is that the administration is comfortable with it being referred to as Obamacare. But in general, I try to refer to it as Affordable Care Act. And this is going to be – there's just so much that's still being fleshed out. I mean, you know, so if an employer determines, okay, I'm not – subject to the I have less than 50 FTE, so therefore I'm not subject to some of the more restrictive provisions of the act. You still have some considerations to make in terms of about what your benefits are and what's going to happen. I mean, a lot of those are some of the same concerns we've had before in terms of where my rate's going. And another big question is going to be is what kind of plans are going to be offered. They have different levels of plans. There's bronze, silver, gold, and platinum plans. And so there's going to be requirements to have plans at certain levels that are offered. And we don't really know what those plan. We don't know at this point what those plans are going to contain. So, you know, we are less than 6 months from when major portions of this law are going to be effective, and one major item we don't know is what plans qualify under what threshold.
Do we know yet? Because there seemed to be discussion early on about what the penalty would be, but then that started moving around also. Is that known?
I think that I don't know the number off the top of my head, but I do think the penalty number has been determined. I do think that penalty number is going to change whenever it needs to from...
Yeah, the only things I can remember are comments made from some of the politicians that they didn't believe that people would accept a penalty, and now that they understand that there are a number who are opting to do that instead of signing their staff up for this, that it's having that unintended consequence, and they weren't particularly tickled with that, so that there was going to be some more fine-tuning.
Well, it depends on how cynical you are in some respects. I mean, there are some people who believe that ultimately this is all designed to force us into a national healthcare system, and this may be such a muddled mess that we'll have no choice but to move in that direction. I don't know that it's fair necessarily to say that. I think I can certainly see why people would have that perspective. It might be fair to say it. I just don't think we know enough. That's part of the problem. You can't do something on this scale and have it roll out this slowly and have this much unknown when such a huge segment of the American economy is tied to it.
KINS, News and Information Times, 343. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 346. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. Bill, when do you think we're going to start to see a distillation or a settling with the impacts of Obamacare to the individual, to the company, to what the actual application is going to be?
I think that it has to happen in the next couple months. Things have to be known. The October 1st is a magic date where people are supposed to be making decisions and opting into programs. You know, the California Exchange is going to have to be all the states have their own health insurance exchanges that are supposed to be created, which is basically a marketplace where people can go to find insurance. The California Exchange, you know, as I verified when we were on break, you know, Aetna pulled out. Aetna is a major health insurer who is not going to be part of that California Exchange. Not going to be selling health insurance in the state of California. So, you know, that's a major option that's going to be off the table. So people are going to have to be able to make those decisions to avoid the consequences of not having insurance. You know, in particular, you're going to find the young, healthy, or seemingly healthy, uninsured folks are going to be the ones who are going to pay for this program, or a lot of it.
A lot of those folks, though, as was pointed out, may not have had any medical care or treatment for a period of time that may have some underlying causes that they've been kind of seen as being pristine and no impact on the system, but obviously not all of them will.
No, some people will have some, you know, because they haven't been getting medical care, they may have some issues that are significant. But in general, what's happened is I think with you know, there are rate strata that are out there currently in the health insurance system. And so, you know, between 30 and 35, you hit this button, this rate, and between, anyway, see, there's all these strata.
We've all experienced that.
Yeah, these all lines. Yeah. And, you know, we've all crept over one into another one. But my understanding is under Obamacare, there's only going to be three strata. So that's
alive, dead, and in between?
I can't tell you, but my understanding is there's only going to be three strata.
Really?
So that what's going to happen is the rates probably on the top end aren't going to go up that much, but the rates in the middle and in particular at the bottom end are going to have to come up if you only have three rate strata. So those are all, these are all these interesting things that you learn a little bit. I'm actually taking an 8-hour class on the federal impacts of this next Tuesday. So
does this qualify as ongoing education?
It's continuing education. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, I'm thinking either it would have the potential of turning into an insurance course, which would be wildly engaging for most of us.
Oh yeah.
Or just even the concept of blending CPA with insurance is just kind of mind-numbing.
Taxes and insurance.
Yeah.
Wow. think about it, rolling in a little actuarial science.
I'm getting tingly all over, so I think the show's about to end. Boy, does it come with no-dos?
No, it doesn't. But I'll tank up on coffee and make it through. I'm actually really interested because I think it's one of those things that we're still trying to figure out what our role is going to be.
Well, hopefully it'll be defined, or at least something you can work off of rather than saying, and we don't know for two more months.
Well, when you understand the IRS is a collection, is enforcing this law, and you think about, you know, that's going to impact tax returns, going to be important to us.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
Enjoy Tuesday.
Woohoo!
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.